This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I'm incredibly proud to be an Over the Influence community member. When I became a member, I got a double dose of the podcast every week, now that I had access to the premium pod, and I also loved the in-person Zoom calls, basically just getting to know like-minded people. Personally, it's been just over a year since I changed my relationship with alcohol, and I've honestly never felt better. My head is clearer, my relationships with friends and family members are better, and overall in life, I just have way more energy. Thankfully, I never had a rock bottom, but Over the Influence made me realise I didn't need one. It's never too late to change for the better. So thanks for being there for me, OTI, and keep up the great work.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's fantastic to have you listening. What are we at now, Ben? 600 million thousand downloads? No, 600
sort of.
Thousand-ish. Yeah.
Thousands of people are listening to Over the Influence every single day. We had our best ever month in January.
Brilliant. A quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name's Sharon Hartley. I cannot believe that I am still doing this 4.5 years later. When I say still doing this, I can believe that I'm no longer drinking because life is infinitely better without it. I can't believe that I am now that person that sings about sobriety week in, week out. It's just fan-flipping-tastic. I get asked this question a lot. How much did you drink? How bad did it get? What was your rock bottom? Blah-de-blah-de-blah. I drank too much, too quickly, too often. It got to the stage where I was drinking a bottle of wine a night in my mid-40s, and then some, by the way. And I thought, you know what? When did that happen? Let's take a break from booze. Here we are, 4.5 years later, hands down, the best decision I ever made. I don't sing about sobriety on my own and share the rubbish bits too. Ben Anderson, how are you diddling?
Not bad, thanks, Shaz. Great to be back. My name's Ben. I'm 34. I live in Liverpool. 2.5 years alcohol-free. Best decision I ever made. Getting married this year. Not sure that would have happened if I carried on drinking. Got a baby now, Leo, who's 4 months old. Not sure that would have happened if I'd still been drinking. I always like to say, and this is a phrase that I nicked from a fabulous man called Tim, who I think still listens every week. I didn't have a rock bottom, but I could see it from where I was standing. You know, my drinking was only going one way, and Over the Influence came into my life at exactly the right time. I love this podcast, Shaz, because I've just been having a look through the list of people that we've interviewed in the past before. I say interviewed, that we've chatted to, because we always say that to our guests at the beginning,
yeah,
don't we?
Chat.
It's not an interview, more of a chat. But we've had TikTok stars on this podcast, Hollywood stars, comedians, Grammy award-winning musicians, authors, reality TV show stars. That was one of my favourites. Thomas Hartley from my favourite show, Maths UK,
so
Married
good.
At First Sight. He's been on this podcast. But I think one of the things that I absolutely love is it's not all about the shiny, glossy celeb big names, is it? We feature some ordinary people who've got extraordinary stories. And I really hope that Susan doesn't mind me introducing her as someone who's ordinary. But what I mean by that is that you're not...
Look at her face! She's not happy, Ben.
A Grammy award-winning... You're not... You know what? This is why I don't do the intros. Shaz,
stop.
Who have we got on the podcast today?
Susan, you are far from ordinary. I understand the point Ben is trying to make. And, you know, we'll go with that. But I'll tell you what. There's not many people that get invited back on to the podcast. I think we can count on one hand, possibly two, of the number of people that have done one episode, two episodes. I think we've had maybe somebody that's done three. William Porter, obvs. Of course it's William Porter. He's due
back
on.
Again next week.
Yeah, we've got to get him back on. Maybe next week I'll tap him up. Susan, it's brilliant to have you back on the podcast. It's a year since we last spoke to you, and your episode was called Susan McGarry, The Believer. People still talk about that episode. Before we get into how life has been for you over the past 12 months, welcome back. Thank you for saying yes. It's really good to see you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me back.
So if anybody hasn't listened to that podcast the first time you were on, which is just over 12 months ago, I would urge you to go back and take a listen, because we named that podcast The Believer because there was something in it that just stuck out for us. And Can you remember that, Susan, when you first came on the podcast and what you talked about?
Yeah. It was about the fact that, you know, you had to believe people that had come before on this path, you know, and were on this journey before me, because, you know, there were some things that I didn't feel about it, but I knew I wanted to, you know, I wanted to feel like that and go through it. So, yeah, I had to put faith in other people, even when I wasn't feeling it myself.
And what you mean by that, Susan, is that sobriety wasn't all unicorns, fast and glitter for you straight away, was it? Like, people talk about, you know, you get kind of 30 days in, 40 days in, and the pink clouds start coming. That didn't happen for you, did it?
No, it definitely didn't happen for me. I think, for me, going alcohol-free has coincided with the menopause. So therefore, it was one of the contributors for me going alcohol-free, because my sleep was really bad and my anxiety was bad. So because it's coincided with the menopause and some other life changes that I've made, it's made it sort of difficult then to whereby I've removed alcohol, but I've still got things that I need to work through, and I am working through. Therefore, so kind of the times that I've had the pink cloud haven't been as frequent as other people, and feeling that joy that people feel. I've felt it sometimes, but, you know, it's been hard to nail down sometimes too. But that said, I've still believed I'm on a better path to be alcohol free, because I would not want to be dealing, you know, I wouldn't want to be dealing with all the other crap and pouring alcohol on top of that. Because I know I was just kicking it into the long grass. That's what I was doing before I stopped drinking. I was just kicking stuff into the long grass. And of course, now I've got to deal with the stuff that I, you know, for years and years, I just booted away and said I was all right. And now I've got to deal with it. And it's not without, you know, and sometimes it's hard to deal with it, and sometimes a bit boring, and, you know, you get a bit fed up with it. But the only way is through.
Oh, I really like that. The only way is through. Absolutely. Susan, I'm really glad you brought up the M word, because I'm so pleased that these conversations are happening, not just on this podcast and within our community. I'm seeing it a lot on social media. The amount of women that are being really vocal about the relationship with menopause symptoms and alcohol and removing alcohol. I, for one, at this stage in my life, you know, also going through perimenopause at the moment, absolutely so relieved not to be drinking through it, because I wouldn't know what was a hangover, what was, you know, sort of alcohol-induced anxiety, or what were symptoms. It's a real relief to be doing this alcohol-free, because you can sort of maybe sift a little bit more as to what's what. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, I found, because I am alcohol-free, I trust my emotions more. You know, my emotions might come from the fact that my hormones are all over the place. You know, they might come from there, but I can still trust them more, that what I'm feeling is real. And even if it's not induced by alcohol, like you said, it is. And then I can then deal with it and take, right, okay. I mean, I know people who've stopped drinking, and, you know, I know people like me who, women of a certain age, you know, and 8 months down the line, you're thinking, well, I still don't feel great, you know. So I think it is good that we're talking about it. Didn't mean to get menopause in so early in the conversation, but it has been a factor, you know, for me, it has been a factor.
Can you talk to us about the menopause, the perimenopause symptoms, and where alcohol comes into that? I mean, Sharon, I'm going to aim that at you.
Okay.
First of all,
what I'm going to do is, because this has put me right on the spot, I'm going to go straight to my phone here. Just let me see if I can find this note. Here we go. I've got a note in my phone, and it's titled Menopause. So this was, oh, crikey, it's further back than I thought. This was in October, beginning of October last year. And I knew that I wasn't feeling right. I knew I wasn't feeling myself. I also knew that everything I was feeling was sort of valid, because there was no alcohol involved. And I also know that one of the mega symptoms of perimenopause is forgetfulness. You know, Ben, you've witnessed it on this podcast. I'll be talking, and then my brain will go, no, And it'll just stop. And I'd be like, what was I going to say? What was I going to say? So I wrote a list in my phone so I could go to the doctor and say, right, this is what I'm dealing with. From the top, working down. Shooting pains in boobs, hair on chin, hair falling out, anxiety, weight gain around the middle, forgetfulness, no or irregular periods, bladder, worse than ever, in brackets, London Marathon made it worse. So that's just a taster of where I'm at. But none of that is masked in any way, shape or form by alcohol. So I was able to sit there and go, right, this is where I'm at. I don't drink alcohol. And I tell you what, when you go to the dentist or the doctors and they go, and your alcohol consumption is, you go, excuse me while I clear my throat, it's zero. 5 years ago, that would have been a lie. You know, I'd have thought about my alcohol consumption and then maybe halved it and thought, oh, it still sounds a bit high. So none of that. And I was able to deal with the symptoms, explain the symptoms, ask for HRT, get it sorted. And again, a lot of it comes down to me. It's a feeling of relief that I know what I'm dealing with. But it's a really freaking hell, it's such a tricky time. The thing I still struggle with daily is the whole anxiety thing and the whole brain fog, Susan, and
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I got the brain fog and my sleep particularly was impacted, and the anxiety as well. And that's still something that I work through. And the thing is with the menopause is it can cause so many different, you know, particularly when you talk about alcohol and the menopause, because alcohol affects our sleep. But then the menopause, that makes us less able to deal with menopausal symptoms. It also, you know, one of the things alcohol doesn't help with is with regards to our joints, because we have less water. And also, like, your sweats and your night, if you're getting disturbed sleep, it can impact your, you know, if you're getting the sweats, it can make that even worse. You know, if you're getting flushes, obviously anxiety is one of the big ones. And yeah, so it can, but so many people have got different symptoms, which does make it hard as well to pin it down. But like we said, the ones we feel, you know, they can be real ones. There's no mucking about, you know, where you're not sure where it's come from, you know, when you're trying to, you know, when you're using alcohol as a coping mechanism.
Okay, so what you're both saying then is that the part that alcohol plays is that, first of all, it can kind of mask some of the symptoms of the menopause or the perimenopause.
Yeah.
Because you do hear these stories, don't you, of people not realising that it's been going on for months and months and months.
Yeah, completely.
So it masks the symptoms, but then also it can, you know, it's like adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, completely.
With like it anxiety. Masks
the symptoms. Yeah, and contributes to the symptoms as well. And if you're able to remove it, and then all of a sudden, you know, particularly if you are a woman of a certain age, I mean, crikey, this can happen at various stages in life, can't it? You know, you hear about younger women getting early menopause symptoms, but in particular, I think if you are early to mid-40s experiencing perimenopausal symptoms and still drinking, you wouldn't know what was what. And I'm hearing so many women say, oh my God, I'm glad, not everybody stopped. Some people are reducing, some people that I've spoken to have removed it for a set period of time. These symptoms have come to light. And it's like, well, it's not the alcohol then, it must be this, you know. And finally, people are able to put two and two together.
And also, you've got people who are likely blaming the menopause for something that's completely within their control, because they stop drinking and then realize their bad sleep. I mean, stopping drinking reduces the amount of sweats. There's lots of people that I've spoken to who said they stopped getting night flushes after they stopped drinking. So by stopping alcohol, you can then work out what you've got left, if anything. And for people that I've spoken to, their sleep's improved dramatically, you know, and they've unnecessarily blamed the menopause when, in fact, the solution was always within their control, you know, was always there for them. So I'd always recommend stop, you know, take a break from alcohol first and then see how you're getting on. And as Shaz says, then you've got very clear symptoms that you can then talk to the doctor about.
I want to pick up on a couple of things that Susan said there. You said, lots of the people that I speak to was the first thing. And then you also said, I'll always recommend. And it's because since the last time we spoke to you, Susan, on the podcast, you've gone off and done something that's very unordinary. And you have furthered your education, haven't you? Tell us about what's happened then in the last year since we last spoke to you on the podcast.
Right. Well, a lot, really. I think if people had listened to my previous one, I think I said I was going to do certain things. And when I look back on it, I have actually achieved a lot of them. So I signed up for the coaching course and I did a coaching qualification, which I achieved in June. And I did that course whilst I was working my notice from my career, from my job, which I would say was my career job, you know, a job that I've been in a lot of years. And I also left that job. It had run its course for me and I didn't want to do that anymore. Before I talk about that, I signed up for a couple of half marathons. I did a half marathon in, I think when we did the first podcast, I had just started my training for the half marathon in Edinburgh. So I did that in May. And I really enjoyed it. So then I did a half marathon, another one in Glasgow. So my intention is to do some more. I really enjoyed them. So I've kept that up. I also did the Yorkshire Three Peaks. I mean, these were OTI events, but like the Yorkshire Three Peaks, you know, I thought to myself, right, I'll just do one peak. And then obviously the group and it, you know, I was a lot fitter than I thought I was. Because I think I can always, in my head, I've always got this picture of me that I never let evolve. As I evolve, that picture doesn't evolve, you know, so I still put myself in boxes that I no longer deserve to be in. So it takes me a while, actually, for my view of myself to catch up, would be a way of doing it. So even though I'd been training for the half marathon, I still didn't think, I mean, I used to walk years ago, but, you know, we're talking 25 years ago, but I still didn't think I could do the Three Peaks, which is why I said I'd just do one. And then I felt okay, so I did the second. And then I felt okay, so I did the third. So that was brilliant. Even though I have to admit, 10 minutes, I did say to someone, how far are we from the top? On the third one, because I did think, oh crikey, I should not have agreed done this third one, but I got through it. And then I did Snowdon as well. And so the other thing I said I wanted to do was the Wild Swimming, which I've really done as well, you know, like, and kept that up all winter. So I'm still river swimming, you know, me being a half marathon, albeit a slow one, you know, I don't want people to think I've turned it into some super athlete.
It doesn't matter.
Have you got a medal?
Yeah, I have got a medal, actually. Is
it? Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. See?
I do.
It's very close to hand as well.
Yeah, within arm's length.
It's a bit like me, Susan, with my copy of The Guardian. It's always within arm's reach. Yeah.
I love what you just said then, that I put myself in boxes that I should no longer put myself into. What do you mean by that then, Susan?
Well, I think we all label ourselves, right? I mean, labels is something that we talk about, and sometimes they're helpful and usually they're unhelpful. But we can be very harsh with ourselves and with labelling ourselves. And I think because I'd done so many changes to, you know, with regards to my lifestyle and things like that, I'd stopped drinking and lost weight and stopped smoking as well and took up exercise.
Just to stop you, Susan, and because you don't, like, how many cigarettes were you smoking a day when you decided to stop?
Oh, I don't know, maybe 30 roll-ups.
And how much weight did you lose? And I don't mean, it's the numbers aren't important here, but I suppose it does show you the kind of journey that you went on with that.
I lost 8 stone.
Just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Susan, we're never going to use the word ordinary ever again to describe you. Sorry, Ben is never going to. I didn't use it. It was Ben.
You know what, though, Susan? Ordinary people stay in their lane, don't they? Like, ordinary people do what everyone else does. You know, ordinary people stay in their comfort zone. And you just talked about, forget about the incredible weight loss and packing in the fags.
Ordinary.
Even in the last year, you said, I love that you went, I said I was going to do these things. And actually, I've done them. I've done the half marathons. I have changed my career and gone into further education so that I can do that successfully. Oh, yeah, I've climbed the Yorkshire Three Peaks. Well, I was supposed to do one, but I did all three. Oh, and Snowdon. Oh, yeah. And also, I've been doing the wild swimming. Ordinary people don't do these things, do they? Ordinary people have ambitions and dreams about things they're going to do. You actually do them.
Well, yes, I did. I think, yeah, I think it is that, oh, I don't know, really. Yes, I did actually do them. Yeah.
It's okay to go, I bloody did it. You're so unassuming, Susan.
So, yes, I did. I bloody did it. I think, again, that she said, yeah, and it's been, you know, it's like we talked before about, you know, how you feel after, you know, 0 to 1 and then 1 to 2. And, you know, and I think I still felt like I was finding my way a lot, you know, in year 1 to 2. But I did have way more the feeling of joyousness in year 2, you know, than I did previously, you know, because I know I'm on the right road, even if days, you know, that I still, you know, like my anxiety or whatever gets the better of me, or, you know, my inner chimp, but I still know that I'm on the right road, and I'm still working towards, yeah, working towards, I don't want to say being happy, because I am happy.
But it, like you say, it's an ongoing journey, is it? It's an ongoing thing. And, you know, we take the rip out of the word journey, me in particular, oh, it's an ongoing journey. But it's true, because it never sort of stops. And we say so many times that those first 12 months, if you just focus on not drinking, if this is your decision to take a break from alcohol or to try alcohol-free life for a set amount of time, that's all you need to do in that first year. Don't drink. Go through the first of everything, the first birthday, the first Christmas, the first whatever it might be. Do not drink for that year. And then just see what happens in year 2, because it's a game changer. And it's so exciting and so exposing and so, what's the word? I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. It can be quite scary as well, because you really are discovering, excuse me for sounding a little bit wanky, exactly who you are, the person you're supposed to be. But it's
why do you keep turning into Tony Blackburn?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I got an alcohol-free journey.
I can't talk about it with any sort of straight face. Because it's... I look back, Susan, I look back at drinking me. I don't recognise myself. I just don't reckon. There's some of the things I say and I'm like, really? Really? But we had... We had a brilliant chat with the meal prep king on the podcast, John Clark, and he said something that I've heard before, but it's just stuck in my mind. And what you were talking about there, all the things you've done that Ben's just listed, you know, that you've done in this second year of sobriety. Sobriety delivers everything that alcohol promised. And it's so true. It really does ring true, because you can have all these great plans, can't you, when you, oh, I'm boozing, I'll do this, I'll do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and you wake up with a hangover, and you don't do nothing, absolutely nothing. But in sobriety, you can do anything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Totally agree with you there, Sharon Hartley. You totally agree.
God, just, anytime I use the word journey, it's that alcohol-free journey.
Yeah, just on an alcohol-free journey. Me and my pal Ben, just record this podcast every single week. I'll stop now.
We've got off on one now. We are just going to take a quick break from this fabulous chat with Susan McGarry, the Believer, or at least that's what she was called the last time you were listening to Susan. So much more from her very, very shortly. Ben, why are you smirking when I'm talking about Susan? What's up?
Because we're about to talk about our fabulous OTI adventures. Because as a listener, you can now join us this year. We've got loads of adventures going on. We're off to Worcestershire, first of all. We're doing the Malvern Hills in just a few weeks' time. 25th of March, we're doing the Malvern Hills. Then we're doing Scarfell Pike. We're going hiking and rock climbing in the Peak District in May. In July, we're doing a River Wye mixed craft expedition. That basically means canoes and kayaks. It doesn't mean let's make a raft and all go down the River Wye.
Yeah, none of that.
But look, you know, as an OTI listener, you can join us on these. Obviously, our members get first dibs and our members also get the discounted OTI member rate. But if you don't want to join us, that's fine. But if you do want to join us on a walk, that's fabulous. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk/events and you can register your interest. Just put your name in, your email address, and then click the I'm interested button for whatever event that you are interested in. And that'll go straight through to our Shazza. It'll go, well, bloody fantastic. Come and join us, a penny fan down in South Wales, love. See you there in May. Can't wait.
And it's exactly like that. That is the reaction you will get, hands down.
Hang on, having said that, I've just realised that before this episode goes out, Sharon, we need to make sure we go in and double check all the dates on there, because I don't think we are doing Penny Fan in May. I think we're doing Penny Fan later on in the year. But anyway, that's admin that me and you can sort out.
We will sort out. Yeah, no, this isn't the place to do it.
No. The reason that I was laughing is because one of my favourite things about last year was going on the Yorkshire Three Peaks hike, which Susan's talking about in this episode. And I tell you what, it could have been the cloudiest, foggiest, most miserable day, and you'd always know where Susan McGarry was, because she had this bright pink jacket on with this bright pink woolly hat. She looked like a highlighter going up the side of the mountain. And you'd always go, oh, there she is.
Brilliant.
That pink blur going up the mountainside. But it was, she's got all the gear. But yes, if you want to join us, then they are great, aren't they, Shaz?
Can I just say, I mean, everything about Over the Influence is fab, but in particular, I do love our outdoor adventures. Like you say, we sort of tested the water, literally, actually, in Snowdon. We tested the water last year with our Yorkshire Three Peaks, and it was just, what a day, what a day. And then we did the, well, it was supposed to be a Snowdon sunrise hike. Didn't see a single sun ray. We saw much cloud and drizzle and grey. However, it was a weekend of just incredible connection. It was so, so good. We did the Edale mega walk. It was just a very long way. We did that last year as well. But what I love the most about these OTI outdoor adventures is the people that come on them. You know, a lot of the time that they're stepping outside of their comfort zone, they're coming on their own. And, you know, people have told me time and time again, Shazza was going to turn the car around. Shazza didn't want to do this. I thought this was going to be really hard, but they didn't. They showed up, they did it. And guess what? You know, they just cannot wait to do the next one. They're the best. And just, I think it's really important, Ben, that we do say it's not me and you leading these treks. It's not me and you responsible for compasses and maps. We have a fully qualified guide, a team of guides, actually, in some cases on the bigger walks, that know exactly what they're doing, qualified to be doing this. And myself and Ben cannot wait for these all to kick off next month in Worcestershire, the Malvern Hills. Malvern. Somebody pulled me up the other day on that. Your pronunciation's wrong. No, it's spelt Malvern. In Worcestershire.
As long as we all end up in the same place, we'll put the postcode on,
don't
worry.
We've got the start location. So if this sounds right up your street or it floats your boat, if you go to overtheinfluence.co.uk/events, there you can register your interest. It will forward an email to me. I'll get dead excited and reply with all the details you need. overtheinfluence.co.uk/events. Let's get back to the episode with Susan.
Susan, can we talk about beliefs, values and goals?
Yes, we can.
Because this is coming up, isn't it? Very soon. We've started doing courses this year, OCI courses. The idea being that, you know, you give up the booze, and we hope you to do that hopefully through the podcast, which is obviously course free, will always be free, through the community as well, that kind of peer-to-peer support. But when you give up booze, it kind of opens up the door to wanting to learn about all sorts of different things. You know, what else can I achieve? I've done this thing that I thought was impossible, and actually I'm doing it consistently every single day, and I'm thriving. So how else can I kind of develop? How else can I grow? And that's the idea behind the OTI courses. But we only want people to do courses who we know. And you know, we're very hands off. It's not like we want you to do a course on this and you must deliver this and we must hit these objectives. We basically say to people that we know and trust. We know that you've got a load of great stuff to teach people. You go for it. What do you want to do a course on? And Susan, you came back with beliefs, values, and goals. So tell us a little bit about the course that you're going to be delivering.
Yeah, well, one of the things that was really important to me in my alcohol-free journey, when I first went alcohol-free, and this was after about 6 months, was, and I mentioned it in the previous podcast, was about values. Because one of the things I realized was I didn't know what mine were. I didn't even know, to be honest, I didn't really know that people thought about stuff like that. You know, when they just, you know, just you go to work and you, you know, you're hopefully okay at work and you pay the mortgage and you come home and that was it, really. So when someone asked me about my values, I found that really quite eye-opening for me that, you know, I was just kind of living my life unintentionally. You know, and not really thinking about what I actually wanted. So I did a lot of work around my values. And so one of the things I really wanted to do was to talk about values and about to help people establish what theirs are. So as part of this course, you know, it's like a bit more of a workshop type thing, I think is how it's going to run it, is it's a 4-week course. And 1 week is going to be talking about values and then trying to establish, you know, for people to work out what their values are and how can they can bring them into their life and see where they're not living with them, you know, not where they're not living by them and where those gaps are and how they can then look at their goals. And there may be an element that people don't have a goal, but look at what goals they're doing or what they do with their day and try and align that with their values. Because if you want to achieve something, but it actually goes against what you is one of your values, well, this is why sometimes we're fighting ourselves. You know, if you're doing a role that, you know, I mean, we've all done jobs we haven't particularly liked, but if it is actually in conflict with your values, that's a different thing. You know, not just not liking your job, we've all had times like that and we've just had to do it for the money. But when you're not liking what you're doing, whether it's what the company, what the culture is like or something like that, if it conflicts with your values, that's where, you know, it causes you, you know, that's probably a contributor to how you feel. You know, when you get up in the morning, you don't want to go to work. You know, why not? You know, and I mean, I felt that with my job. I felt that, you know, I had been passionate about my job for a lot of years and things had changed over the years the way they do. And it wasn't that I was harking back to the old days. It's just the way it was, the direction it was moving in just wasn't something that aligned with me anymore. Now, and that was partly I'd changed and the institution changed. You know, it was both. So anyway, sorry, back to the course. So it is looking at that, looking at people's goals and then looking at the beliefs that they have around achieving those goals. Some of them limiting, you know, most of them would be limiting, and then work out how we can remove those limiting beliefs as well. I mean, unfortunately, I am an expert in limiting beliefs because I've got bloody loads of them. But I'm still, you know, it's still working on, you know, I do work on use techniques to help me deal with them, you know, to move things forward and to help me achieve what I want to achieve, you know, what help me achieve what I want to achieve on a day-to-day basis. So that's what the course is about.
I think you're bloody amazing. And I genuinely do. We've got all the time in the world for you, Susan. You're just one of our most favourite people. This is the same woman that came on the podcast, you know, over 12 months ago, saying, I had to believe these people. I had to believe these people that removing alcohol was going to change my life. You're sitting here now, and me and Ben are listening to you you've just, you know, spoken with such passion about beliefs and values and what makes you tick. And you are now going to be delivering a course for Over the Influence for our members. And I just think it's amazing. And I've just got this image of you in a wetsuit in a field in Wales from our camping weekend. You just literally throw yourself into everything, even though you've got your own sort of anxieties and your own, what's the word, worries, you know, your own sort of apprehensions about things. You just keep going forward. And I just think it's brilliant. And thank you for being an amazing community member. And we're really excited about this course. How does it feel sort of now, being 2 and a bit years down the line from Susan that started out doing this?
Oh, see, when I look back, it feels amazing. You know, from where I was 2 years ago, you know, and this is sometimes something we all do, is we forget how far we've come. You know, and we beat ourselves up about where we're not perfect. You know, where we're still not perfect. You know, where I was never striving for perfection. You know, I was striving for more headspace. That was something I was striving for, and a quieter mind, you know, a calmer mind, which I've achieved. But yeah, it feels really good. It feels really good. I mean, the first time I did the podcast, I was really nervous and really kind of scared about being vulnerable. And I've really worked on that this last year, about being more prepared to be vulnerable and more prepared to not put a front up. And, you know, and be more honest. You know, that is one of my values, is about being honest. You know, and not doing that I'm fine bit, because that's really easy to do. But likewise, still trying to progress and know that, you know, not letting it hold me back, you know, and still trying to achieve what I want to achieve, you know. So yes, it feels good, Chaz.
I don't mean to nitpick at this. I'm looking at the title, because what you're saying is, because Susan, why are you the right person to lead this course on beliefs, values and goals? Well, look at what you've done in the last year. You know, you said, I want to run a half marathon. You've done two. I want to do the coaching course. Everything that I listed earlier on, you know, that's why. It's because you set goals, and the differences between you and maybe 99% of other people is that you didn't just tick some of them off, you did all of them. You went, I want to do these things this year, and you've done every single one of them and more. You know, I want to do a half marathon, I'll just do two. You know, not everyone can say that. So that's why you're absolutely the right person to do this course. I'm just thinking that the nitpicky bit is, should it be beliefs, values and goals, or should it be values, goals and beliefs? Because from what you were saying is that you start with the values. That's the first thing. It's who am I? What do I believe? So what, remind us, because I know you did talk to us about this on the last podcast, but it's been a while. So what are your values, Susan?
Well, my values, it's funny, they do evolve. But yes, values would come first for me, because I think that is... And I think it is an evolving thing, but I think having the conversation about it is the place to start. So for me, with the values, mine are to be, and they have evolved, is honest and have integrity, consistent, calm and consistent, healthy in mind and body. I am open to learning and growth, because that's been important to me for as part of the doing the coaching course, and I want to do some more studies as well. I've already done another course, and I've signed up for another course, because I'm particularly interested in trauma, and I want to ensure that my coaching practice, that I have a certificate in trauma awareness.
So values, so obviously you've got yours there that are, you kind of, you thought about a few years ago, constantly evolving. I suppose then we need to change the bloody course name again, because I think actually it's values, reflection, goals and beliefs, isn't it? Because what you're saying is that
so
when you when you define your values, as you said, you'd not thought about them before, but when you think about your values, you then got to look at your life around you and go, right, does it apply? You know, am I living my values in the current situation I'm in? Am I living my values? And I suppose if the answer is no, that's the goals side, isn't it? Well, you know what? How can I create a life more aligned with my values?
Yeah. I mean, because one of the things with values is we have aspirational values and we have real values, you know, because everyone writes, you know, basically when we've got a values, you know, who's going to write that they don't want to be a good person and they don't want to be honest and all of that sort of stuff. But it is that, how are you actually living your life and how do we get them closer? You know, because that's where, and I know that it's a phrase that's often used with regards to alcohol, is that cognitive dissonance, you know, where you know what alcohol is doing to you, yet you still drink. Well, you know, you get that dissonance with values, because if you're not living with to your values and you can't rest that, you know, you're getting that dissonance. And that contributes then to how, you know, you feel on a daily basis. So, but we can work on the title, Ben.
Yeah, but at the moment, I'm thinking we just call it Susan's Course, to be honest.
Let's go with that, Ben.
Because we've got values and reflections and goals and beliefs. Just before we go then, because the beliefs part, is that the kind of, you decide on your values, you reflect on your life and decide if you're living true to your values, or if you need to set some goals that potentially align you closer with those values. And the beliefs is the bit that can stop you.
Yeah. Is the limiting beliefs that hold you back, you know, that you might think, you know, you might put, you know, I want to, you know, one of my goals is I want to run a half marathon. And then you have your inner chimp that's saying, absolutely no way is that going to happen. So, and it's working through that and that limiting belief and how you can get, you know, the technique. I mean, I like cognitive behavioral therapy. I really like that angle for coaching. So, yeah, it's challenging those limiting beliefs so you can then achieve your goals, which are then aligned with your values. So that would hopefully reduce the dissonance, you know, and make you, you know, help you feel more aligned.
So then, Shaz, beliefs and values and reflections and goals and dissonance course,
it's
coming
not,
soon.
Not catchy. It's not a catchy title, is it, for that course? I just like Susan's Course. Susan's Course, it'll be ace. Full stop.
Susan's Great Course, coming soon to OTI. You caught me smiling then, by the way, Shaz, when Susan was talking about her inner chimp, because obviously this is based on the chimp paradox. Have you read the chimp paradox?
I haven't, before? But I've heard bits about it.
So the chimp is basically that kind of like instinctive kind of carnal kind of bit inside you that is pretty, yes, exactly. And the reason I was smiling is because Susan, we were on a call last week, and she let me know that her chimp is, what's your chimp's name, Susan?
Gary
the chimp.
Gary.
So we're speaking to both Susan and Gary the chimp for this podcast episode.
I'm not sure this is meant to make the final cut.
Well, it will.
Susan and Gary, so teach you about goals, coming soon to OTI.
Susan, we're out of time. We are out of time. Before you go, Ben, when is Susan's course, titled TBC, taking place with Over the Influence?
March. So it kicks off on Tuesday the 7th of March. My mum's birthday. Happy birthday, Mum.
Fantastic. What a great...
Tuesday the 7th of March.
Great day. If you are listening to this and you want to get involved in Susan's course, which is going to be absolutely fantastic, like we say, Ben is working on the title. Just drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk, because as well as this being open to community members, it's also available to you as a listener to Over the Influence. And like I said, drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Susan is one of our OTI recommended coaches as well. She's absolutely flipping fabulous. Susan, if anybody listening wants more information about what you do, where can they find that?
My website is due to go live next week, susanmcgarry.co.uk.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on Over the Influence. Thank you so much. We cannot wait for the course. Thank you.
I'd like to say thank you, and maybe I will when I hear the final cut. We'll be right back.
Another fabulous episode. Another fabulous episode with Susan. There's not many people, Ben, that get invited back on to OTI more than once. And I do love it when it's a community member.
Just fab, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And you know what? Just an ordinary woman who's done extraordinary things. She's not an ordinary
woman. She's not. She's far from ordinary.
But it's just, I love that she went, right, you know what? This year, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And then she did it. You know, she did it. She set out her intentions and then she followed through. And that's what makes her extraordinary. You know, it's brilliant. And I love what she was saying about going to the Yorkshire Three Peaks last year. I was already planning on doing one.
Oh, that was
and
brilliant.
And then I just ended up doing all three.
Yeah.
And you go, flipping, yes, go on, Susan. She pushes herself out of her comfort zone, but then it's just one foot in front of the other. And she achieves these things and she's just racking them up. If you want to push yourself out of your comfort zone in the next few months, then Sharon, we've got just the thing for you, don't we?
I'm dead excited. Genuinely, it makes my soul sing when we all get together on these OTI AF OVS outdoor adventures. They're so, so good. I think I say I've done them all. I was support crew for the Yorkshire Three Peaks because I'm an absolute clown. It clashed with, I think it was the final night of my appearance in Calendar Girls, the musical on stage in Preston. Mm-hmm. And some of the members came to watch that, which will never not be amazing. And I just think the events are so, so good. And just thinking back to Snowdon, actually, that we did back end of last year, Ben, there's me and thee looking like two trussed up sausage rolls in our wetsuits. I was absolutely ruined after getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning for this alleged sunrise hike. Race, I want my money back. There was no sunrise to speak of. Lots of drizzle, lots of rain, but absolutely lots of laughs. And there's me and you, Ben, on this lake in a field in Wales having a paddleboard meeting. And it was one of the highlights of last year.
You know, they looking back on last year, these events were the absolute highlight. From the Yorkshire Three Peaks to the summer camp. Even the Edale. Oh, did I do the Edale walk? No, I've done an Edale walk with Danny Bangers, one of our members. I've done the walk.
I did the OTI Edale walk, the official one.
Yes, Jem was very pregnant by that point. But you know, looking back, like, they're such lovely days because, you know, the format of it, you're just walking and you kind of, you know, you get to chat to everybody who's there. You kind of walk up and down the line. It's really chilled. Everyone's there for the same reason. We're all alcohol free and want to embrace this kind of energy and this motivation we've got to do new stuff. And there's nothing better than looking at a massive mountain going, oh, blimey, that's big. And then getting to the top with everyone else. Like that feeling of personal achievement, but also that kind of teamwork is lovely, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
We're opening these out to non-members as well. Obviously, our members get priority booking for all of our events and our members get discounts on the ticket price for all of our events as well. But if you don't want to join us, that's cool. But if you don't want to join us for this, that's amazing. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk/events and you can see what we're doing this year. From the Malvern Hills hike in Worcestershire, we're doing Penny Fan down in Wales, we're doing some of the big ticket ones as well, aren't we, Shaz? We're doing Ben Nevis, we're doing Scarfell Pike this year. If you go on to overtheinfluence.co.uk/events, you can just fill in your name, email address, I'm interested, and that'll go through to Shazza, who can get you sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think 9 times out of 10, these are day events. So obviously you'll spend the day with us and some of our members and qualified guides as well. The Ben Nevis one is actually, it's a weekend which includes accommodation and food as well. Just bear in mind, okay, this is Over the Influence. We don't do 5-star luxury. I like to call it gritty realism, maybe. Something like that.
You're not really selling it here. But, you know, I suppose, yeah, we're not in a swanky 5-star hotel.
We're not.
You know, when we go camping, you know what I mean? Like, the summer camp was a camp. That's great. What we love about it. You know, tents and fires.
It was like, so, so good.
Love it. It's awesome.
So, so good. Yeah, we'd love you to get involved. If you head to the website overtheinfluence.co.uk/events, and if you'd like to join us on one of our adventures this year, you'd be more than welcome to do so. As always, thank you so much for listening. Same time next week.